Wow, what a great morning. How many of y'all glad to sing unto the Lord? How many of y'all glad to hear a new song unto the Lord? How many of y'all glad to know God's still here? And he'll be here in the morning. And he'll be here 4 or 5 weeks after that. In fact, he'll be here to the end. How many of y'all are convinced that God will be here to the end? He will always be with us. That's good news, isn't it? I want you to pray with me today. We're gonna finish up because we have a guy named Saul who was adamantly opposed to what God was doing. How many of you all have met people that are adamantly opposed to what God is doing? Yes. Okay, now you live in a nation that's not too hip on following Jesus. Have you noticed that? How many of y'all have caught that current movement? Amen. You can be anything in America and be defended except a Christian. We've come to that point. Well, why? Well, you see, when you're blind, you want to oppose what will make you see. Now, think about it. When you're in the dark, what's the last thing you want to be exposed to?
Light.
Now, what did Jesus say? I am the dark of the world, or I am the light of the world? Okay, now think about this for a minute. We have Saul, and he has one way of thinking. Now, I want to show you how current this is. How many of you all have ever heard of this right here? Gridlock. Have you heard that term in culture today? Why is there so much gridlock today? Go ahead and give me some of your reasons. Okay, stubborn. It's sight. It's the same situation Saul was in. How many of you all only see one way? This is it. I believe it's this way, and it's this way because I believe it's what? This way. How many of y'all got tunnel vision? You ever heard that concept? Tunnel vision. You can only look at this situation in one way. This is my way. This is the way it ought to be. This is the way it's going to go down. Now watch. If you're going to follow Jesus Christ, it is a requirement in conversion that you get some new eyes. Because without new eyes from Christ, you'll only see it your way. And if you only see it your way, what have you noticed? Well, I don't know, D. I might have to disagree with you there. My way always looks better than your way. Because I want what? In fact, when we really look at being converted by Christ, we're in a battle of the ways. Battle of the ways. God has his way, I have my way, and you have your way. True? And as we go through life, we got God's way that permeates all ways. And then we got our way, what we've been shaped by and what we've been exposed to. And then we bump into other characters, other people on the face of the earth, and they have what? Their way. So isn't this story, this moment, this episode of Saul encountering Jesus a collision of the ways? Paul is on his way. Jesus has his way. Paul collides, or Saul's way collides with Jesus' way. And then Saul's sent on his way into the city without the eyes he used to have. Now, at this moment, he's darkened. Remember when he encountered Jesus Christ, he went blind. And his partners, his fellow cohorts, are now having to guide him into the city. Do you think this was frustrating for Saul? Because Saul went with authority, didn't he? He had met with the chief priest. He had his paperwork down. The officials of the day had given him permission to go and get those people of the way. Now, aren't we impressed with our official papers? Anytime you have a major transaction, you have to get it what? Notarized. All notarized. Has to have an official what? Because now that makes it valid. It makes it good. It's been notarized. A person of authority has recognized this as legitimate. Now, think about this for a minute. Paul went and sought authority for his way, but on the road he encountered the authority above all authorities. Now, one of the things I want to suggest to you today, one of the reasons that we're having difficulty dialoguing with one another in this moment of time in our culture is we have no absolute authority. I'm not the authority. You're not the authority. Your paperwork's not the authority. Humanity is not the authority. From here on out, I can promise you for the rest of your life here on earth, especially in the culture of the United States of America, there is going to be a battle for who has the authority. Now, for those of us who follow the Lord Jesus Christ, we believe, we confess, we believe, and we've received that Jesus Christ is Lord. That's a slogan you hear in the church all the time. Jesus Christ is what? Now, when you say Jesus Christ is Lord, guess what you're really saying? I have submitted to an absolute authority. If you hear some of the Christian dialogue today, the Christian dialogue today is to question the absolute authority. But we just don't like authority in our lives, do we? Have several school teachers in here. Haven't you all noticed the difference in your careers from the position of authority when you began to teach to now? I remember when a teacher was authority. How many of y'all remember that? Joe, I remember students not picking on you, but they knew Principal Guthrie and they shook a little bit when they heard his name. In other words, it wasn't just Joe was coming down the hall. He was coming in a position of what? Authority. That was the word. Now, I want to encourage you and I want to tell you something. This, and I know sometimes when we're young, we want to go, rah, 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 it's not so. If you're going to live a healthy life, you have to have authority in your life. Life with no authority is anarchy. I have been very interesting to hear the dialogue of our new protesting crew. It is amazing the inability to get a coherent statement from anyone in the interviews. Have you all noticed that? Mm-hmm. They just won't protest. Well, what are you protesting? I would love for them to shed everything that belongs to them from a corporation before they protest so that at least they will have integrity in their protest. That means you can't use your iPhone, iPad, iDial, satellite interference system. Or can you imagine for this group, if there was a life without corporations, they would never have a video game to play. It's amazing. But what? We're seeing things from what? One perspective. Now, we got that down. Now, I'm going to challenge us all today. It's going to challenge all of our thinking. When you begin to follow Jesus Christ, you will have a new perspective. And it's going to be different. Now, please don't, Eddie, don't lose this. That perspective will be different than the way you feel. This is the toughest thing. Jesus does not coordinate his truth according to our emotional reaction. I'm going to show you. Yeah, I'm with you, Diane. Thank God. But boy, that's difficult. We have Saul. He's blind. That's a traumatic moment. He hasn't eaten for 3 days. He goes into Damascus, into the city, and we pick up. Then God speaks to a follower, a person that's in the way. In verse 10, chapter 9, in Damascus, there was a disciple named Ananias. Now, I want you to note this. Don't doubt what God might call you to do. Don't doubt what God might call you to do. Andrew, it's going to be very interesting. You've been around me long enough to know that I struggle deeply with all these Christians that have to find peace with everything God calls them to do. And the reason I struggle with that, that's the most unbiblical thing I've ever heard. Christianity without difficulty is not Christianity. It is a fabrication of emotional theology, which is based on you and not on God or evidence of God. I haven't found yet anything that God's called us to, and these were his words after his calling. Now go be comfortable. Now go be at peace. He most of the time he just says what? Go, He's a go and low kind of God. You know what I mean? Go, not Billy Low kind of God, just low. I will be with you. You know what God's saying? Once you realize who I am, me being with you is enough. This is great news today. God being with us is enough for any difficulty we might face. How many of y'all believe that? If I'm blind, will God take care of that? Yes. That doesn't necessarily mean I will regain my sight, but I will be in the way. Does that make sense? Can I move on? Now we got Ananias, who is a follower of this Jesus, the way, and the Lord called to him in a vision. Ananias, what do you think? You think God still moves in visions? Yes. What do you think?
Yes.
God still speak to his people?
Yes.
We got a lot of theologians who don't believe that. I say, well, if it's not exactly in a Bible verse, then it doesn't happen anymore. I go, really? You're going to tell God what he can do? You're going to limit God to 66 books? You're going to tell God exactly what he can do and cannot do? That's a person that has no idea who God is. He is the beginning, he is the now, and he is the to come. He is the one that put everything into motion. Will God move as God moves? Yeah, that's not the question. God is moving is not the question. Donna's not the question. But I hear that question all the time. I get a bunch of preachers, bunch, you know, church going people, Keith, and they always say, we hope God moves. And I want to say, he's moving. That's not the question. The question is, I hope I follow. The prayer needs to be not God, will you move, but oh, church, will you follow the God that is moving? Not, oh, come, Holy Spirit. It's already in motion. Some of y'all have wasted half your faith trying to call in the Holy Spirit that was already on. See, the problem wasn't the Holy Spirit. It was I didn't want to be obedient to what God called me to. Surely God wouldn't call me something to something that was absurd. Did I tell you Saul had authority from the chief priest to arrest the people in Damascus? Okay, let's see what God calls Ananias to do. Let's see how warm and fuzzy God is to Ananias. He says, Ananias, there's a man in Damascus named Saul. He's arrived there and he hasn't eaten for 3 days. I want you to go to the house of Judas on Straight Street and ask for a man from Tarsus named Saul, for he is praying. Well, that's a good place to catch Saul, isn't it? But Ananias, he just says, for he is praying. Ananias, yeah, Lord, you're right. Yeah, yeah, he's praying. He's praying for my head. He's praying to arrest me. He's praying to get me. I want to show you something. God is going to send Ananias to someone who wanted to get him. Has the call changed that much? How many of y'all follow Jesus strong enough that somebody wants to get you? I got a few people in this town, they want to get me. They always looking to get me. They like to tweet and email and they won't get me. What's this? I'm not worried about that as long as I'm following who?
Jesus.
Now, I'm worried about that when I'm following me. I wish I could tell you I follow Jesus all the time, but sometimes I change glasses. And I want to look at what I know and not who I know. How many of y'all ever have that problem? You want to look at what you know and not what? Who you know. Now, that's going to be the difference in the eyes. Okay? Paul was looking at what he knew. It took me a long time to get here in my life. I don't know how long it's taken you to get in your life, but here's what I know. Every bit of information I have learned on this earth is skewed by a human perspective. All the education I've had is skewed by a human perspective. Why? Every bit of knowledge that we've come up with is limited knowledge, no matter how good a knowledge it is. It's limited to some point. The only thing that I have encountered that is unlimited is Jesus. So there's a big difference in limited sight and unlimited sight, isn't there, Billy? If I look at what I know, is that limited? How many of y'all, what you know is limited? And I know some of you know almost all of it, but see, the problem is it's almost all of it. How many of y'all don't know as much as you really think you do? That's interesting. Now, a lot of hands went up at 8 o'clock. I wonder how many hands will go up at 11 o'clock. Look up, Pastor Harris, you don't understand. I'm 21, man. I mean, I've had the internet. I've been exposed to more information than any other generation in any moment of historical time. We're the smartest group of people that walk the face of the earth. Now watch this. Here's our limited fallacy. We believe that having a lot of information means you're intelligent. Guess what that means? You've got a lot of information. In fact, I live in a day and age, and you live with me in this day and age, where we have a lot of information and know how to use very little of it. Information for information is just information. The key to is applied knowledge. Applied what? Knowledge. I mean, information's good if you want to be a champion trivial player. But if you want to live a life, you better have truth. So we have Saul. He's a very knowledgeable man. He's very educated. He's in with the higher ups. And we have Ananias, a follower of Jesus, called to go see a man from Tarsus named Saul, for he is praying. Isn't it interesting how God takes, for he's praying. In a vision, he has seen a man named Ananias come and place his hands on him to restore his sight. So Paul's praying, and in a vision, Ananias, I've showed him who you are. I bet Ananias wanted to say, that's my cousin Ananias, right? Not me. Lord, don't send what? Me. Isn't it interesting how we like to hold positions? I'll go anywhere you want me to go, Lord, as long as it doesn't involve me. A lot of us talk about mission and we talk about the global situation until we're called upon to address it. Have you noticed that? A lot of us complain about how others give until we're called to what? Give. A lot of us like to talk about sacrifice and humility until it actually involves us. Make sense? It's a whole lot easier to talk about the economic situation when your mom and dad are buying your gas, paying your insurance, and providing your rent. True? I remember I had a different perspective of money at age 21 than I do now. My parents don't make my car payment anymore, Mark. My dad's here. I think he should, but he doesn't do that anymore. He also locked the basement so I couldn't move back in. See what I'm saying? In other words, he said, you must understand a perspective. Now, Ananias has a perspective. Guess what it is, Don? Saul is dangerous. He's heard the rumors. He's seen the facts. He's talked to some other buddies. And they said, you know that guy, Saul? He'll kill you. He arrested Joe and he arrested Zafu and he arrested a bunch of people the other day. He's been invading churches. Saul has a reputation as a persecutor. But that's before he went blind, Angela. Why did Paul persecute? Come on, that's not rhetorical. Why do you think he persecuted? I don't think he was mean. I don't think he was mean. I don't think he was a mean guy. I don't think Paul was just like, who can I pick on today? I don't think that was his motivation. From his perspective, he believed he was absolutely right. No way would God send a rabbi here that would be crucified by the Roman authority and risen on the third day. That's impossible. This guy's an imposter. Watch this. A lot of people that don't believe in Jesus is because they believe what they believe. They really believe what they believe. And so our challenge is really this. Do we believe what we believe? See, there's some things that you believe that change you. I want to tell you some things we believe adamantly in this congregation. I believe any human being can be saved. Amen. I mean, I believe that. And because I believe that, guess what? We're going to preach it everywhere to anybody. Now, if I personally believed that only some could be saved, then guess what I'd be doing? I'd be looking for the some. Now, the problem with this method is this. I'd be the judge of who is and who isn't, and that ends into a deep heresy. No human being can determine who's with God. Who's speaking to Ananias? No, let's get in that text. Who's speaking to Ananias? Y'all very weak on this. Who is speaking to Ananias? The Lord sent him a vision, not a human being. The Lord. The Lord is sending him in, not another human being. Who's giving him the authority? God. God. Listen to Ananias' response. Very interesting. Lord, Ananias answered, I've heard many reports about this man. That's a nice way of saying this guy's rough. And all the harm he's done to your saints in Jerusalem. What's Ananias doing? He's not really making excuses. Stating his perspective. Today's sermon's all about eyes. He's stating what he's seen. I have seen, I have heard. My information system says Saul is a dangerous man and he wants to harm the saints at Jerusalem. And since he didn't get enough saints at Jerusalem, he's expanding his ministry into Damascus. And you want me to go talk to who? This would be like, what if God said, how many of y'all would agree that Bin Laden was a dangerous fellow? He did not like Americans. I know for some of you all, this is just so hard for you to believe because you just know if we'd all sing a soft song, nobody would hate you anymore. I wish you all were right. I know y'all get mad when I bring this up and I see you going, ah, ah, ah. But there are some people that hate you. There is hate in the world. It is real. And to pretend it's not there does not make it go away. Saul hated people that followed the way. He hated them because he hated them. There's some people that hate the United States of America. They hate it because they hate it. Well, let me ask you a question. What if it was your name and the Lord said, I have blinded Bin Laden. And I want you to go and speak to him. Dr. Blevins, what would you say? Would you say, Lord, have you watched CNN? This guy is what? Dangerous. Let's check with law enforcement now. Shannon, you would have more detailed information than the rest of us on this terroristic mentality. And the Lord said, West, I brought you up in Kentucky, but I want to send you to the Middle East to negotiate with some of the top terroristic minds. I've blinded them and I want you to go speak to them. Now go in peace. Would your response be, Lord, I am leaving now? Or would you say, Lord, have you read the report on my desk of what's the last thing these people did? Now watch this. Saul is dangerous as Saul. But Saul is not dangerous blinded by the Lord. See, our first prayers before we witness is, Lord, may you blind us to who we are and may you blind them to who they are so we might see you. That's my prayer every Sunday morning. Lord, may we be blinded to our own agenda so we might hear from you this morning. Because it's just humanly impossible. How many of y'all came in here this morning with agenda? Anybody have a fight before they got to church? Elizabeth and I have done that before. It's hard to preach after you've had a fight. I mean, I've even had a fight with Elizabeth early in the morning as I got up, put it on hold so I could preach to y'all and picked it up after lunch. Now that I'm no longer listening to what God said, I'm going to go back to what I want. Saul wanted to get rid of these people who followed Jesus. Ananias has got the call. Ananias, I've given Paul a vision. You're the man. I've heard many reports that this man wants to do harm to your holy people. And he's come here with the authority from the chief priest to arrest all who call on your name. I want you to be careful. The Bible calls us to be in regard to the authorities of this world. There is authority in this world. But I want you to know, all humans have temporary authority. There's authority as a leader. There's an authority as a teacher. There's an authority to help people so that there would be order. How many of y'all understand? If there's no authority, it's total chaos. Because nobody knows who's on first or who's on second or who's going to go to third. It's total chaos. How many of y'all have ever seen a house without any authority? How many of y'all have ever looked at a family with a dad that won't step in authority? Now, there's some crazy children. And you know why they're crazy? Because that daddy hadn't put that foot down. So there's no authority in the house. So what does it lead to? Chaos. Or if daddy's never there, what's not there? Authority's not in the house. Authority doesn't come by. Mama's got authority too. Amen? Amen. If mama doesn't throw those mama eyes in that finger or that authoritative snap, boom. Only a mom can snap like a mom. See, I don't have a mom snap. I got a dad look. Like I'm fixing to take you back where you came from. Line up. Now, why do parents ought to want their kids to line up with the things that are going to bless them? Now, watch this. God is desiring for Saul to line up with his message so the Gentiles may be reached. Ananias, a little tense here. He said, he's come with the authority from the priest. Don't you know God just wanted to look at Ananias and say, yeah, and I'm the high priest. The high priest is talking. You're talking to me about sub-priest, and you're talking to the high priest. Now, how many of y'all get more concerned about the sub-priest than you do the high priest? Oh, I hear this every week. I've got something going on, talking to other pastors. What do you think? What about brother so-and-so? He'll be upset. You know what my answer is to that? So? God tends to upset the brethren. God upsets the brethren. Politicians want appeasement. God wants purpose. You see, we use this term mission, God's mission. Well, God's mission has a point. Part of it is to feed and to clothe and to nurture and to correct the injustices that are wrong. But guess what? Those are temporary situations at best. It is to bring people to God's eternal purpose in salvation. And sometimes we would rather appease and please than preach, proclaim, and see God convert. We got to get some new eyes because Saul, is blind. But the Lord said, verse 15a, look at here. But the Lord said to Ananias, go. How many of y'all just need to hear that today? Go. How many of y'all need a little go? Go. I've been asking y'all year long to find one friend, one other human being that doesn't have a relationship with the Lord Jesus Christ and speak to them about their relationship with the Lord Jesus Christ. How many of y'all hadn't done it yet? I know the number one reason. Pastor Dave, you don't understand. They're my good friend. If I ask them about Jesus, well, they might not like me anymore. Well, Lord have mercy. I'm glad I don't have a friend like you. I'm glad I don't have a friend that would know the way to heaven and would rather hang out with me here and let me go to hell than to tell me about Jesus Christ. He said, well, Pastor Steve, I don't believe a loving, merciful God would have a hell. I've read the book. Is there really a hell? Ask Ananias. Ask him. He'd tell you, yeah, Saul brought it with him. So, if you will, Billy, our loving, merciful, wonderful God is sending a man named Ananias to a person who knows how to raise hell, Saul. He happens to be blind at the moment. That would be my only comfort. It's hard for a blind man to chase you down. How many of y'all find it's easier to lose a blind man than one that can see? You know, you don't have to duck down another street because he can't see the one you're on. But the Lord showed Paul who was coming, a man named what? Ananias. And when Ananias gave what? God his perspective, his information, his knowledge, his observation. What was the response from God? Go. How many of y'all just need to hear go sometimes? We say, oh Lord, but it doesn't feel good. I've heard this a lot. I've heard this at Hillview. Well, I know the Lord wouldn't send me anywhere that would make me uncomfortable. What Bible have you been reading? The cotton candy version? He sent Moses there. He sent Ananias there. He sent his own son here to go in a very difficult place called the cross. Would you tell me what exempts us? I like this one. Elizabeth and I are teaching these marriage classes. I love teaching marriage classes. Well, I really don't love teaching marriage classes, but I love teaching Elizabeth. Elizabeth, you hear this a lot now that you and I have seasoned a little bit. Well, I can't believe marriage is so difficult. Why is that astounding? Pastor Mark, I never will forget the first time you got married, which has been the only time you got married. On the first day of your marriage, Mark had lived as a single man for a few decades. Wouldn't you agree, Mark? We were standing right outside this door right here, and sweet Tina, she was getting all dolled up. I mean, we were ready to go on the big honeymoon launch. And Mark's out there. And Mark, if you all know Pastor Mark, I love Pastor Mark because Mark keeps the whole staff on a time schedule. Mark keeps me on time. Mark eats precisely 7 o'clock, lunch is at 12, and supper needs to be around 5 to 5:30. If you get to 5:31, he's ready to hurt somebody real bad. Mark has a clock. Now, me, the world is negotiable. My time schedule is a little different. I have morning, noontime, night, late night, morning again. It's kind of Asian-like. We're here in the moment. Well, Tina, now she was really working. Now, Tina, I had to be on Tina's side this time because she was really dolling up because, you know, this is a honeymoon. They're going to enter in, where, you know, some fine hotel. And Mark's over there, and Tina has already slipped off Mark's time schedule. And he starts with the arms folded. This is when you know you begin to be in trouble. And then he sways a little bit. He starts swaying. And then when you get to the foot tap like this, you are late. And baby, he's tapping. And I looked at him. I said, Mark, welcome to marriage. I said, for the rest of your life, you will never be on time again. Learn to prepare at least an hour to an hour and a half in advance to whatever the designated time arrival will be. About 4 years later, Mark said, I cannot believe it, but you have been right for that whole time. We have two different what? Perspectives. Now listen, I take up for all you ladies. You ladies got a lot more to do to get ready than we do. Now if you a man putting on makeup, you need to come to the altar right now, all right? But what I'm saying is that's a lot bigger chore. I've had to start wearing glasses. That slowed me down. So I have to find them all the time now, okay? You know, but if I had to put eyeliner on and pat my nose down, hey, just doing this nose right here would be 35 minutes. How do you get something like that to look good? If I'm going to hide that on my face, it's going to take a concrete truck, you know? I mean, it takes longer. But you got to go, you got to go, you got to go. Go. Ananias, go. This man is my instrument. Chosen instrument. You know who chose Saul? Now note this. You know who chose you? Just go ahead and look at your neighbor for a minute and go, nice to be chosen. It is. Y'all know I'm telling the truth. How many of y'all remember elementary school? They brought out the big red ball, the big red six ply, isn't it, Coach Cox? That big old red 6-ply playground ball. And we were going to play kickball. Jack, they do that back in the 50s. They didn't.
We had a little ball.
Oh, little ball back in the 50s. It grew through the decades, okay? We had kickball. How many of y'all were glad you weren't chosen last? Because you always knew. This was back before we had non-competitive situations that we have today. You knew if you were chosen last, what? Bad. You stunk. And, you know, if you were chosen, I confess to you, I was a very uncoordinated kid. I struck out in kickball before with a big kickball. You know how embarrassing it is to have your tough skin shorts on, your JCPenney shoes, and all of a sudden you're running up to a kickball and you whiff a kickball? They picked me last. And I knew I wasn't any good. But you know what now? I'm just glad to be picked by God. God chose him. God chose him. Now let's finish this up. Look what he said. I've chosen this man. I've chosen this instrument. This man is my chosen instrument to carry my name before the Gentiles and their kings and before the people of Israel. Now, this is amazing. This man has a wider calling than the disciple Peter. Peter went to tell the Jews. You know why Peter went to tell the Jews? He was called to do that. You know why? You know why, Mr. King? That's all he could do. He didn't understand Gentiles. He had never studied Gentile philosophy. Who had? Who grew up as a Hellenized Jew? Paul's from the city. Saul is a metropolitan academic. He understands what they're after. He knew their perspective. And then God chooses him and blinds him to who he was so he might see who he is. How many of y'all need to be blind today to what you think, what you say, what you feel, so you might really see who God is, what God's about, and what God will call you to? He said, Ananias, I'm giving this man that you are fearful of a greater calling than you. Go proclaim it to the Gentiles and the people of Israel. I will show him how much he must suffer for my name. It's interesting, Andrew, here for too long. You're going to graduate from seminary. Ben, you'll graduate here even shorter than that. Ben, do you reckon the commencement address will be this? Young pastors, now go and suffer for the gospel. I don't hear any suffering conferences. Now let us go suffer for the Lord. I don't see any TV ministries, Bob, based on the sufferings for the Lord. But yet the weight in the text is go and suffer for the Lord. It's not go and get a new Cadillac because you love Jesus. Nowhere in the Bible does it say Happy Friday. Everything's wonderful. In fact, Jesus came because everything wasn't wonderful. He came because we were sinners in need of mercy and grace. And Jesus is so ridiculous that he'll call someone like Saul, who's adamantly opposed to what he's doing, to be one of his greatest messengers. He said he's going to suffer much for him. You know why? But now watch, it makes sense now. Why would Jesus use Saul? Saul fully understands those who are opposed. Why? He was one of them. And now he can see. Then Ananias went. You want to find life in the Lord? Go. When he says go, he went to the house and he entered it. Is that not scary? Placing his hands on Saul. That's scary. He said, Brother Saul. That takes a conversion. He's calling a man brother that's killed people like him. The Lord Jesus who appeared to you on the road as you were coming here has sent me so that you may see again and be filled with the Holy Spirit. Ananias didn't go to find a friend. He went to what? To reveal God's purpose. Immediately, something like scales fell from Saul's eyes, and he could see again. But he didn't see what he used to see. He saw what he could see. He got up and was baptized. Now, tell me baptism's trivial. Somebody try to tell me baptism is trivial. And don't give me that old Baptist junk that it's a mere symbol, because it's not a mere symbol. It is a testimony and a confession to the power of God in your life. And look, Paul didn't say, I've had an encounter with God. I got a new perspective, a new insight, new amazement of who Jesus is. And I'm going to consider being baptized in the next 5 weeks. Immediately, he got up and was baptized. He said, I know who gave me these eyes. I know who gave me these lives. And I will confirm that in a very visual way. I am one of his. Jesus says this, those who aren't ashamed of me, I won't be ashamed of them. How many of y'all are not, hey, in this room, y'all can say, there's a lot of you here that are not ashamed of the gospel of Jesus. How many of y'all are not ashamed of the gospel of Jesus? I'm not ashamed of the gospel of Jesus. And guess what? It fits in less and less and less and less to the culture I live in. Pastor Ayers, you're primitive. And God's done a great work in me because I want to hit a lot of people I disagree with. And I know that's not what God wants to do. He wants to love what I want to hit. Some of y'all are lucky. I've wanted to hit some of y'all, but God's held me back. From limited what? Guys, I'm going to ask you to do something today. Would you please get rid of limited vision? That's for people who live in sin. People who live in the light see beyond the moment. Beyond the present emotional response, into the experience of God. Be baptized in the purpose of God. Go. And when God calls, go. He got up and was baptized. And after that, taking some food, he regained his what? Strength. And Paul spent several days there with the disciples in Damascus. When the Lord becomes Lord, when you see that God is everything, I don't have to ask you to come to worship. When you believe that Jesus is it, I don't have to ask you to go to Bible study. When you're saved and understand the mercy of God, you'll automatically want to climb those steps and be baptized. When you love the Lord with all your heart, soul, mind, and body, you want to hang out with his people. When you truly understand that God loves you, has forgiven you of all your sin, and you live in a new life, nobody's going to have to coach you to do what comes natural. He is either Lord in your life or he's not Lord. You cannot have this developmental concept. See, God doesn't develop. And we'll end on this. How many of y'all understand that? God does not develop. He's developed. Now, what are we? Yes, exactly right, Pastor Mark. We are developing. God is developed. Does this make any sense today? How many of y'all going to use some new eyes this week? This would be a great prayer to author. Dear God, may I use my new eyes instead of my blinded ones. I am blinded to my own stuff. How many of y'all are blinded to your own stuff? How many of y'all be that honest about it? How many of y'all just your own stuff? How many of y'all can pick out other people's sins easier than your own? Why do you think that is, bro? Yeah, I'm blinded to mine. I don't know about y'all, but what I do is not half as bad as what y'all do. Y'all think that way too? I'll go, well, now that wasn't right, but it wasn't that bad. But if you did it, it's not right and it's really bad. Because we're what? Blinded. So here's some good things. If you're a follower of Jesus, great altar today. Lord, help me in the weeks and the weeks to come to look at my own blind spots. Make sense? Look at my own what? Blind spots. Have you noticed that that's the roughest thing we have to work on in life? Now be careful when it's everybody else's fault. You want to enter hell? Make it everybody else's fault. A lot of y'all know this. A lot of y'all have done some recovery work. Watch this. The first step into recovery. Does anybody know the first step? If you're struggling in addictions or something's binding your life, it don't matter what it is. You got to admit you have a problem. Guess what? Guess where they got that? Don't tell me the big book. They got it from the bigger book. Here's the first step into salvation. Lord, I'm a sinner. Lord, I've fallen short. I'm not what I thought I was. Is this making sense? Lord Jesus, here I am. I surrender myself unto you. I have fallen short and I need you to forgive me. Now, when you step into that, I need you to forgive me. Guess what? Your eyes are going to change. Mr. Jackson, I love your eyes. And I thank God for how you have spoke what Jesus has put in your heart for many years. You know what you've spoken in my life? Sometimes, brother, I get a little weary. You ever been there? Oh, yes. Been a little weary. And I think about Mr. Jackson. Watch this. He spoke one word into my life in a phrase. I asked him one time. I said, Mr. Jackson, how did you start from where you were and end up to where you finished? He said, Reverend, let me tell you. He worked in a great tire manufacturer. He said, I started with a broom pushing rubber into a vat. I did so well at that, they gave me something else, and 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 eventually they called me VP. Oh, Mr. Jackson, where has that truth faded in this moment of time? What we want to do today is we want to look at the people that are there and complain about them being there instead of asking, how did they get there? Because very few of them were put there. Very few were put there automatically. They just won't be there. Some of you college students think you've graduated from college students and you're now ready to run the company. Let me help you what a college degree means. You are smart enough to be eligible for a possible job. We do know that you can attend enough class and pass enough paperwork to be sufficiently enough that you might have the ability to learn. Some scary things in our world. We call it the practice of medicine. Think about that. I always pray that my round with the doctor is not a practice session. Means we're continuing to learn. There's only one that's arrived, God. The rest of us are developing. Isn't that true? Paul, with all of his knowledge, with all of his information, with all of his academics, with all of his life experiences, he had the right last name. He had everything, guys. He had everything going for him. You can flip over there to Philippians, and he talks about his resume and how great it was. And so I know you're working on a doctorate. I did a devotion when I was doing my doctorate. I got everybody in my class mad. I said, the only people that care about the alphabets in front of your name is you. I said, nobody in the world cares that you're working on a doctorate of ministry. I don't care. And I was in it. You know, they put stripes on your robe academically. That means you paid way too much money going to school for a long time. That's what those stripes mean. And I said, you know what? Here's the problem with the church today. Y'all care more about those stripes than you do his. These stripes fade. Those last for eternity. Now, how many of y'all going to be willing to say, Lord Jesus, here I am. I need you in my life. I need you to forgive me. I want to be blind to what I used to be, and I am willing to go where you've called me to be. You do that, you change forever. Not temporarily, but what? Eternally. Hope everybody in the room decides to ask Jesus in their life. If you've asked Jesus in your life, when Paul was filled with the Holy Spirit, he got new eyes. What was his immediate response? I'm just showing you in the scripture. What was his immediate response? Baptized. He didn't go, yeah, well, Ananias, I need to think about that baptism thing. I'm going to wait for Pastor Jamie to call me 2 weeks from now to see if we can get that scheduled. Did he? He didn't say he had to check in with his parents, his cousins, to make sure Grandmama Paul was going to be there. He said, immediately, I want to be the testimony of what's in me. I yearn for that church to absolutely explode into American culture. Not the one that says, how do we communicate to you? The church that says, how do we convert, change, and show you the ways of the Lord? Amen? Well, let's stand together. Altar call, if you need to be baptized, obviously, immediately come and share that with us. If you need to receive Jesus, you're open to that. But come and pray today. God, watch this. It's a great prayer for followers of Jesus now. Don't pray this unless you want your week to be crazy. If you want to just have your week, stand up, stay in your seat. But if you really want to see, watch this. God, show me where you are in my week. Let me follow the eyes you've given me versus the ones I want to follow. See what happens. See what happens. Amen. See what happens. Lord, it's your altar. It's your call. It's your conversion. Only you can speak, so speak clearly. Lord, may we hear. May we hear. Lord, we know that you'll communicate. May we listen. May we receive. May we come. May we pray. May we learn. And most of all, may we follow. In the name of Jesus, a beautiful moment. The altar is open. The Holy Spirit's presence is here. New eyes, new life, new perspective, new way. Come, let's be inspired through it and by it.